A big thanks to Topo Athletic for its continued support of Another Mother Runner. Topo shoes are designed to help you move naturally with a roomy toe box, secure midfoot, and low heel-to-toe drop to encourage a midfoot strike. Save 15% on any full-price purchase at topoathletic.com with code TOPOAMR2024. Welcome to another Mother Runner. This is Sarah Bowen Shea. I'm joined by Amanda Loudon. Hello, Amanda.
Hi, Sarah. How are you?
Good, good. So we are going to, I'm going to introduce the topic far earlier than I typically do because I want you to talk about your personal experience with this topic.
Sure.
Yes. So we're talking today about how running can combat loneliness. And in a way, that's the cornerstone of all things Another Mother Runner, you know, that connections, those connections that running fosters and allows to flourish. And so we have two guests. First, a doctor who has spent decades studying happiness. Yes, such things joyfully exist. And who co-authored a renowned book on the lessons learned from that long running study. Then a quote unquote everyday mother runner who has found that running helped her overcome loneliness and even PTSD, which sprang from her husband being stationed overseas. So Amanda, the reason why this topic resounds with you and why I chose you as my co-host for this is because you very much rely on your cadre of running friends there in Maryland. So much so that you, when you moved away, you ended up moving back to them. So talk about those people that you run with in Maryland and your experience leaving them and that stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I think part of it is just my stage of life, right? I'm an empty nester and I'm a single woman. And so I don't have people in my home. And so I really rely on my community. And so when I was in Colorado and I left that community, and I did have one kid still underneath my roof at that time, but the bottom just dropped out. I just didn't realize how much it meant to me to have that day-to-day, you know, touch points with people. And it, you know, it's not just my running people. It's also my neighborhood where I can go out and join someone for a walk, you know, and I do all that too, but it is, you know, my running friends are, you know, just a huge, huge pillar of my life. So, I found it very difficult to suddenly be out running alone. And it's not to say that I didn't run because I kept going no matter what. And I think I did it more because I recognized my mental health was, you know, was in peril with all of my loneliness. And so at the very least, the running, you know, giving my daily endorphins, and I knew that was good for me and got me outside, all those things. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, because it seemed to me that, so to remind folks, you lived in Maryland, you moved to Colorado, in part to be closer to the man you were dating at the time. And then you just, it seemed to me that you just missed your community so much back in Maryland and you just couldn't find your people out there in Colorado. And even though then your two kids are in Colorado now, right? The draw of your community and the connection with those people there in Maryland drew you back. And so you moved back to Maryland.
Yes. And I miss my kids. And my relationship ended because we were going to try to do this whole two-state existence. You know, so that could be a lot of reason to say, oh, I made a mistake coming back. But you know what? No, it had, like, I feel really content and resilient and strong again. And it's due to my touch points in my community here. Yeah. No question.
Oh, I've never had any doubt in my mind that moving back to Maryland was the right thing for you to do.
Yeah. But it is really nice after, you know, it was 2 years out there and then getting back here and then going through heartbreak. And within, you know, the last month or so, I've just kind of recognized in myself that I'm really happy again. And it just feels so good. And I 100% credit it to the people I get to hang out with all the time here now. Yeah.
Nice. So how often do you run with other people?
Yeah. So I run 5 days a week, and at least four of those days are with other people.
Wow.
I do like to have like one day a week to run by myself, because there's, you know, there's value in that as well. Mm-hmm. But oftentimes my day to run by myself is Sundays, and that's often the day that my one friend will want to go trail running. So there I go. So
do as I say, not as I do.
Right. Yeah. So it's at least 90% of my running, if not more. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So I'm excited to delve into this intriguing topic. We're joined by Robert Waldinger, MD, the director of the Harvard Study of Adult Development. Dr. Waldinger is a psychiatrist and psychoanalyst and co-author of the best-selling book called The Good Life, Lessons from the World's Longest Scientific Study of Happiness. In addition to his academic work, Dr. Waldinger is a Zen teacher and practitioner, a first for a guest on this show. I'm excited for that. Welcome to the show, Dr. Waldinger.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So, Dr. Waldinger, I'm curious about what kind of physical activity you do for health and well-being.
Oh, I just did some. So since the pandemic, so I used to commute to my hospital every day, which meant it was really hard to fit exercise in. But since COVID, now I do something every day. I either walk for between an hour and an hour and a half, or on alternate days, I do a workout with low weights. So kind of an active workout with weights. So I try to do a combination of weight training and just gentle cardiovascular exercise.
Okay, very nice. So if you could tell us in a few broad brushstrokes about the Harvard Study of Adult Development.
Sure. This is, as far as we know, the longest study of the same people that's ever been done, studying the same people through their entire lives. It started in 1938 with two groups, a group of Harvard College undergraduates, 19-year-olds, and a group of boys aged 12, 13, who were from Boston's poorest neighborhoods and most troubled families. So these were families known to social service agencies for domestic violence and parental addiction and mental illness and a whole variety of problems. And the question for both groups was, what does healthy development look like from adolescence to early adulthood? And now we sort of smile because, you know, if you want to study healthy development, you study all white men from Harvard. But we also have this inner city group, and we've then since expanded to include the wives of these men, all 724 of them, when they grew up and married, most married. And then we've included their children, more than half of whom are female.
Interesting.
Nice. So one of the key findings of this long-term study is that the breadth and depth of relationships are key to our well-being, our physical health. So given that us mother runners and women runners are very interested in maintaining or improving our health, tell us a bit about how or why relationships are so crucial.
Well, they're crucial for a number of different reasons. First of all, they seem to help us through the hard times. We get lots of support from other people. And they also give us good times. And they also stimulate us. So relationships challenge us. They make our brains work in new ways. There's so many ways that relationships matter in our lives. And what we've been doing in our laboratory over the last 10 years is trying to understand how relationships actually affect our physiology, which they do. So relationships actually predict the people who are more socially active and have warmer relationships live longer, multiple years longer, and they stay healthier. They get the diseases of aging less soon, if at all. And of course, they also make us happier, but that's not as much of a surprise as that they actually change our physiology.
Love that. A talk you gave on YouTube has the attention-grabbing headline of loneliness as a silent killer of health and happiness. Can you expound on that a bit for us?
Yeah. I didn't create that headline, but it works pretty well.
Clickbait.
Loneliness. You know, loneliness is that experience of not being as connected to other people as you want to be. So, which is different from isolation. So you can be lonely in a crowd, or you can be perfectly happy all by yourself on a mountaintop, right? So it's a subjective experience of not being connected enough. Well, what we know is that loneliness is actually a stressor. It seems like we evolved to be social animals because it's safer to be in groups. The survival value of being with other people is great, you know, compared to being alone on the Serengeti, if you will. So it turns out that, you know, we sleep less soundly when we're alone. There are all these parameters in, you know, that sort of say that loneliness is its own mild stressor. But if you are lonely much or all of the time, and about 30 to 40% of Americans say they're lonely much or all the time, they are in a state of chronic low-level stress, a kind of low-level fight or flight response. Mm-hmm. And what that does is it, you know, creates higher levels of circulating stress hormones like cortisol. It changes immune functioning. It actually weakens the immune system. It heightens cardiovascular reactivity. And all of those things gradually break down body systems. So loneliness turns out to be as powerful a predictor of poor health and health decline as smoking half a pack of cigarettes a day, as having untreated hypertension, as being obese. So it's huge, this epidemic of loneliness we're in and the effects.
I have to say, you saying we sleep less well when we are alone, I just think there's so many moms out there listening and be like, oh no, I sleep so much better when I'm alone. That's a whole nother topic. So,
well, it's true, but imagine if you were alone and you knew your kids weren't going to be there in the morning. You knew your partner wasn't going to be there, wasn't coming back.
This isn't a business trip. This king bed all to myself with 400 count sheet.
Exactly.
Night. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. So let's tie this to running. So do you think someone has to run with someone to stave off loneliness, or can there be a connection in other ways, say running in a race, you know, by yourself, but there's all those people around you, or spending time on, you know, the Another Mother Runner Facebook page? I have to say, because this morning I went running with a good running friend, Trisha, and I told her what the topic was of the podcast. And she goes, oh, yes. You don't have to run with someone to get the effects of this. Well, so that's what she thinks.
If running was the only thing you did all of your waking hours, then I would say, well, yeah, you probably do need to have some people along. But that's not the only thing you do. It's not like you have to be with people all day long. And in fact, introverts don't want to be with people all day long. That's a stressor for introverts. They don't need that. What we're really saying is that everybody needs some people, maybe just a few people if you're more introverted. And you need them some of the time. You need to know that they're there to count on. But that doesn't mean you can't go out for a long run by yourself and be perfectly happy and healthy.
Okay. Yeah. Do you think that our relationships and bonds are strengthened through activity and movement?
Well, they certainly can be. Anything that's fun, anything that's playful, anything that's a shared endeavor can strengthen those bonds. I mean, a lot of the ways that friendships develop and strengthen is by facing a challenge together, right? By coming through something together, completing a marathon together. Wow. That's a bonding experience.
Yeah. I'm going to bring it back again to my group of running friends. I've been running with these ladies for, you know, 20 some years, and there's something about those shared miles, and we've traveled to races and all kinds of things together over the years. And, you know, just been supporting each other through all of this and thick and thin. And I think there's something special about that bond with that group of friends, you know, versus I have other good friends as well, but there's something special and unique about that particular bond for me.
Yeah. You know, when they study how friendships develop, the easiest way for friendships to develop is around a shared interest. So mm-hmm. running is a perfect example of that, right? You mm-hmm. all love to run. And so you have lots to talk about just right off the bat, right?
Mm-hmm. Right?
About running itself. And then I would bet that those relationships expand to you're talking about other things in your life. But the place to start when you're looking for friends is to find a group that shares an interest and hang out with that group.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's talk a bit about casual interactions with other people, possibly even strangers. I'm all about saying hi to people I see on my runs and even tossing out a comment to them. Like the other day, I was running by myself and saw a woman going from her house to her car, seemingly going off to work. She was dressed really stylishly, had on this great outfit. And so as I ran past her, I complimented her on her stylish jeans she was wearing. And, you know, she thanks me. Maybe she thought I was a nutter for saying something to her. But I really enjoy sharing snippets of life with people like that. Are these interactions bolstering the health benefits of my run, do you think?
They do. It mm-hmm. turns out these are casual interactions. Sometimes in the research literature, they're called weak ties, but that's mm-hmm. a bad name for them mm-hmm. because what you're describing turns out to be really helpful and beneficial to us. So that casual comment, and maybe the person you made that comment to smile back at you, or maybe you run by and say, oh, beautiful dog, or mm-hmm. whatever it might be. The casual interactions with the person who checks us out in the grocery store, or the person who hands us our coffee in the coffee shop, that those are giving us little hits of well-being and little experiences of feeling like we belong to a larger community of people. And what we find is that those actually have the kinds of benefits we're talking about, the kinds of physiologic benefits.
Mm-hmm. Do you think people do those types of casual interactions more as they age, or is that just me? Because I get it mortifies my children who are now all in college when I talk to people like that, when I more than just say thank you to the barista or something like that.
Yeah, I think it really depends. I think people vary a lot in how much they do what you're describing. Mm. I don't know that it changes with age. Some people are just more reticent about doing that kind of thing. And I'm sure, you know, I can remember when my teenagers would be mortified when I would talk to someone. They would just be so embarrassed. But what we do find is that there is this kind of internal resistance to connecting with other people. And that when we overcome that, we're actually happier. I'll give you an example. They
yeah, please.
Did a study of commuters in the city of Chicago, taking the commuter rails. And what they did was they randomly chose two groups, a group that were assigned to do what they normally do on their commute, you know, look at their phones or listen to music, whatever. And the other group was assigned to talk to a stranger. And they asked people before they did their assignment, they said, how much do you think you're going to enjoy this? And the people who were assigned to talk to strangers thought, I'm not going to like this. They were not anticipating they would enjoy it. When they were done, they asked everybody again. And the people who talked to strangers were much happier getting off those trains than the people who just did what they normally did during their commute. So we're kind of bad at realizing what makes us happy, and that there's that kind of reluctance to do the connecting that turns out to be energizing most of the time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, I mentioned introverts already, and I want to return to that. We do these multi-day in-person running retreats, and we get a lot of self-professed introverts. Yet there they are at a group event. And they all seem to have a great time and walk away with friendships made. So can you share a few pieces of advice for such folks for building their social networks? You know, maybe obviously going to a multi-day retreat isn't the answer for everyone, but other ways to add these enriching you know, personal connections into their days.
Well, I wonder if the introverts in your group got benefit from it and had a great time because the bar was kind of low. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, because there were a lot of people, they didn't have to talk to anyone. It wasn't like they were in a group of five strangers mm-hmm. and they had to, you know, and there were these awkward moments. It was just mm-hmm. a whole gaggle of people, right? Mm-hmm. And so in that sense, the bar may have been lower for, you know, feeling part of things. And I think that that might be a good example of how finding ways to be around people where you don't feel called upon, you don't feel in the spotlight to say stuff, can be helpful. And then you can come out of your shell mm-hmm. when you feel like it and when it feels comfortable.
Mm-hmm. So can you think of some examples? I mean, is that maybe being on a, I don't know, going to church meetings, yeah. you know, or of course, pickleball springs to my mind. You don't have to talk when you play pickleball, but I do. But, you know, I don't know. Other thoughts on that?
Well, that's right. I mean, I think that churches, you know, houses of worship are places where everybody's welcome and you don't have to talk to anybody, but often people will talk to you if they're good congregations of people. Mm-hmm. And so again, the bar is kind of low to making connections. So that's a good one. And there are plenty of others, you know, pickleball might be. I mean, I don't play pickleball, but I have friends who absolutely swear by it and mm-hmm, say that mm-hmm. you meet so many people when you play pickleball. Mm-hmm. And so putting yourself in a situation like that, and let's say you're not athletic, mm-hmm. Not the women listening to this podcast, but let's say you're not one of those people. Maybe you like gardening. So mm-hmm. you join a gardening club. Mm-hmm. You know, there are a variety of ways you can put yourself in situations where you'll just rub elbows with the same people again and again, and you're more likely to strike up conversations.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. So any parting thoughts you want to leave us on how people can improve their health this way?
Well, I would say that the people in our study who were the best at this were the people who made it a lifelong practice. And it's not heavy lifting. So it might mean staying in touch with the people in your life more actively. It might mean just sending a little text once in a while saying, hi, just thinking of you, wanted to say hi. It might mean having a regular phone call with somebody who you really want to stay current with, or having a regular run or taking a walk together. But structuring your life in small ways and maybe in large ways so that you connect and stay connected with the people who are important to you. Mm-hmm. Make it an active practice.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us today, Dr. Waldinger. This was an interesting conversation.
Well, this was a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
All right, it's time for a brief break. Stay with us for more on the positive power of running. I'm a loyal gal. When I find something that works, I stick with it. Like the Topo Athletic Phantom running shoes. I've run in them for years, feeling like I found my forever shoe. Then our partner Topo sent me a pair of Atmos shoes to check out, and it was love at first run. Literally, I debuted the Max Cushion Atmos on a run I intended to be 3 miles long. Well, I was enjoying the Ultra Cushion ride so much, I ran 50% further than I intended. If you haven't heard of Topo Athletic, let me introduce you to the brand, which was founded by longtime leaders in the footwear industry. Topo has been in biz for more than a decade, making shoes with a roomy toe box, secure midfoot and heel, and low heel-to-toe drop. Coming back from my back injury, I was intrigued by the extra cushioning that Atmos offers, courtesy of something called Zip Foam, a lightweight midsole material that's surprisingly responsive underfoot. I worried running in the Atmos would feel like running on marshmallows, but not at all. They provide a lively, responsive feel while dampening the shock on my knees, hips, and back. It feels fun to run in the Atmos, and my joints and back are happy, happy during and after. Plus, my toes appreciate the roomy toe box while my midfoot is cradled securely. Move over, Phantoms. I might switch my Topo loyalty over to the Atmos. And like many Topo Athletic shoes, the Atmos is available in regular and wide sizes, in women's sizes 6 to 12.
Find your favorite Topo with a special code just for you. Save 15% on any full price purchase at topoathletic.com with code TOPOAMR2024. Again, use code TOPOAMR2024 to save 15% on any full price shoes at TOPOATHLETIC.com. That code TOPOAMR2024 at topoathletic.com.
Our second guest is Stephanie Diamond, a longtime runner and the mother of a teenager. One of our brand ambassadors, Stephanie, is originally from Rhode Island, but she is currently living in San Salvador, El Salvador. At several points in her life, Stephanie has relied on running to help combat loneliness. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us, Stephanie. It's good to talk with you.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So, Stephanie, I understand you've been running for about 3 decades. So give us some background on that.
Well, I started when I joined my cross-country team in the 8th grade because a bunch of my friends were doing it. Mm-hmm. And then I ended up running competitively all through high school and college. My last meet was the day before graduation from college.
Wow.
And I got into the longer distances as I went through my running, you know, quote unquote career. And some of those 2-day college meets, I was doing the 10K, the 5K, and the 3K over the course of 2 days. And then after that, after college, I just started running for fun and I settled on the half marathon as being my favorite distance.
Nice. Nice. So I'm curious, what's running like there in the capital of El Salvador?
Well, we live in a little suburb just outside of the capital. So it's, okay. I mean, by some standards, it's not great because it's always hot and the sidewalks mm-hmm. are in pretty bad shape. I wear my trail running shoes, even if I'm just going to be on the sidewalk or on the street.
Wow. Okay.
But we're in a very safe area and there's lots of runners and cyclists and other pedestrians, people out walking their dogs and everything. So it can be pretty pleasant if you hit the right time of day with not too much traffic and it not being too hot out.
Okay. Okay. So, and it seems like you've lived and run all over the globe, due largely to your husband's job. So to set the stage for our conversation, tell us briefly what he does and where few of the places you've called home.
He is an agent with the State Department's Diplomatic Security Service. And we have been in Burundi. We've been in Hyderabad, India. We've been in Bamako, Mali. We've been in San Francisco, which we're going back to for his next assignment also. We've been around the DC area, and now we've been in El Salvador for almost 4 years.
Mm. Wow.
Wow. So from what Sarah has shared with me, it seems like running saved you from being lonely for the first time about a decade ago. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, we moved from India back to the United States. Our daughter was about 3 at the time, and she and I were going to stay in Rhode Island for a year while my husband did an overseas assignment that we couldn't join him on. And it was the first time I'd been a parent in the United States. I'd only been a parent in India, and it's much different, you know, and I was moving back to my home area where I had my parents and some family, but I didn't have a lot of friends who had little kids. I didn't have parent friends. And it was back when another mother runner used to have message boards. Mm-hmm. And I went on to the message boards and put out a call for, I forget if I put out the first message or if I saw someone else's message mm-hmm. and responded to it. But a woman nearby was training for her first marathon and looking for people to join her for some of the long runs. And so I started joining her and she got me in with a bunch of her friends. We all trained for some half marathons together. And even, you know, as I'm in and out of the state, we try to get back once a summer. Even if we can't all run together when I'm back, we try to at least get together for something, coffee mm-hmm. or a beer or something when I'm back. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's great. So with just a little bit of reach out, it seems like you were able to put together quite a community.
Yeah. And I mean, it was really more Nicole's community that they welcomed me into. And it okay. really helped having we decided, you know, a lot of Mondays were going to be our long run days once we all got the kids to school. And it was really nice to have that to be able to look forward to after the weekends of being home alone parenting.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about. Gosh, my youngest kids are now 18. And I think back, I'm like, oh my gosh, the amount of time I spent with them with, you know, I had no phone, you know, I would be like up in our kind of our playroom and I would read magazines while they, you know, I'd, yeah. I'd interact with them, but I'm like, really? So much of that has changed.
Yeah.
When was the last time I picked up an actual magazine? No offense, Amanda.
Yeah. Don't worry about me.
So Stephanie, how did it feel to put yourself, quote unquote, out there to contact someone from our message boards back in the day? And because in the message that you wrote to me, you wrote, I was brave and joined her for 4 miles of her 15 miler. So how did it feel? And can you even remember what it was like on that first run?
Yeah, I mean, I'm very much an introvert, so I love my alone time. So I have to be really, really needing people in order to take a step like that to meet a stranger, especially on the internet 10 years ago when it mm-hmm. wasn't quite as common, I think, as it is now. But yeah, I just remember at least we have this one thing in common. And I wasn't in very good shape then, but I knew I could handle, you know, 4 miles at the pace she was doing for a much longer run. And she was just so open and friendly and chatty that it was easy to keep talking once we got started.
Mm-hmm. So, and then did you find that some of those running friends were also moms or parents? And did that kind of then make you feel like you had friends in the parent world or kind of?
Yeah, for sure. Everyone that she put me in touch with, I think, was either, you know, a parent or a grandparent, so also a parent. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, we all had that in common and just having resources. Oh, this is something I can do with my kid on the weekend. And, you know, most of them had kids older than my daughter was at the time. So mm-hmm. just having a little bit of experience with parents who had done that in that area before was just, it was nice to have those resources, other parents who knew what they were doing or who could give me some ideas what to do. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Even just like recommending pediatricians and stuff like that.
Right. Sure. Exactly. Yeah. The whole word of mouth thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you told me ahead of time that your mental state slipped beyond loneliness into something more severe. Can you share a bit about that and how being active helps?
Yeah. We had an incident at one of our posts that led to me having PTSD. But mm-hmm. at the time, neither my husband nor I knew that that's what I had. And it was another period. We were back in the United States after that time. And he was traveling all the time, gone for like months at a time. Mm. Yeah, it just got to the point where exercise wasn't lifting my mood in the way that it had before. So that's when I decided that I needed professional help. So I started going to therapy and they gave me the PTSD diagnosis, and just being able to label it and knowing there's something I could do about it was very helpful. But then I also got injured and ended up needing surgery. So having those two things happen at the same time was just really hard. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And so, but now you're back to being active again.
Yeah, I'm pretty active. I still have some chronic injuries that pop up every once in a while, but I think everybody does pretty much, especially once you reach a certain age. So yeah, but I'm doing a lot of yoga. I'm trying to get back up to half marathon shape because I haven't done a half marathon in several years.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, you wrote to me, now you're working on how exercise, even if it's not running, can help you with your PTSD.
Yeah, I've discovered that I don't have to be a runner all the time. I can hop on the rowing machine. I'm a terrible swimmer, but I still feel good after I've been in the pool for a while. Mm-hmm. I've started going to a yoga class with the same small group of people once a week. Mm-hmm. So that's exercise and being social at the same time.
Mm, nice.
That's great. So you've mentioned that you currently run solo, but you have many happy miles keeping you company. So talk a bit about how virtual running related connections bolster your happiness and sense of self.
I think it's great. It's been, you know, my little corner of social media that doesn't seem to have as much pressure as some of the other corners of social media have. And there's a couple of people that we have sort of formed little groups outside of Many Happy Miles to have our own little chats back and forth and just someone to check in with, someone with similar goals, aside from, you know, my other friends from other parts of life. There's always someone to talk to about something out there.
That's really nice.
And what's also kind of fun is with different time zones, you know, because we have lived all over the world and have friends all over the world. If I wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and can't get back to sleep, there might be someone else who's awake and ready to chat.
that's a good point. So you mentioned you're going to be moving, I think San Francisco is where you're headed next.
Yeah.
And so do you have any kind of plans or a strategy that you're going to take with you to perhaps build a support structure based on running when you arrive there?
Yeah, I'm starting to look ahead to some of the trail running groups that are out there. And we adopted a pandemic pup here in El Salvador. So also looking at some of the dog walking groups that we might be able to get him into. It seems like there's going to be a lot of opportunities for anything we want to do to be able to meet people.
Wait, dog walking groups that he might be able to get into. You make it sound like you're hoping he gets into Stanford.
He's a very loving dog with people, but he was not socialized with other dogs very well. And he's part pit bull, which just makes him not always look like everyone's favorite dog, which I completely understand. I don't trust a lot of dogs who aren't my dog either, unfortunately. I've had some run-ins with other dogs, but yeah, there are some, I've looked it up and there are some dog walking groups that are breed specific. So if you have sort of a problem dog that no one else wants to be around, we can still take him there, but he's a sweetheart with people. He's been a great addition to our family.
Oh, that's so nice. That's so nice. So any parting advice for folks who maybe are in a new situation or feel lonely, feel some sort of anxiety? What advice would you give them on reaching out and finding, you know, folks to run with, folks to be active with?
I mean, it seems like there are a lot of opportunities out there if you can take the time to sift through stuff and figure out who your people are. I don't know. It's just taking that first step and saying hi, I think, almost as much as it is online, as much as offline. If you see someone doing an activity that you like, just put yourself out there.
Great advice. Great advice. Well, good luck with your move. And thanks for joining us from El Salvador. That's very exciting, Stephanie.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. And thanks for being a BAM ambassador for us.
Thank you.
I think that's such just simple advice. Just say hi. And, you know, that's your first step.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm walking away super impressed with Stephanie because I think she's done a really great job with all the different moves and finding her people, you know?
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, if you are intrigued by my talk of that multi-day get together that even introverts like, please join us in Lake Placid, New York, September 6th through 9th. And our hotel, our host hotel, is right in town. Lake Placid is a village steeped in Olympic history. It is nestled in the Adirondack Mountains in Adirondack State Park. And it's just gorgeous, very charming downtown with little shops and cafes. And then our host hotel is right on Mirror Lake, which is the boat-free lake. I know, Amanda, that you have been to Lake Placid many times and love it as much as I do. And
yes.
I'm sure you have gone swimming in Mirror Lake. I'm so excited to go. No boats. So, and then just added our first session. Because we have expert speakers and people doing presentations, we're doing a self-defense for runners session with a local expert there. I'm excited about that. That's the first time we're doing that as a topic. So always bringing in fresh content, new presenters. We do yoga, have great meals, and people definitely make all sorts of lasting friendships out of our retreats. So please consider joining us September 6th to 9th in Lake Placid. Go to anothermotherrunner.com, click on events, and you'll find all the details and you can register there. Again, anothermotherrunner.com. Our podcast today was produced in St. Paul, Minnesota by Barry Medore from Fire on the Bluff. Is there anything you wanted to say to me today?
She was That's like, so great.
She's like, what? I'm like, oh, maybe how I don't look another year older. She was like, did I forget your birthday?
That's so great. So, I love it.
So I'm like, this is better than anything you could have given me for my birthday, because now I have a don't be thoughtful, get out of jail free card.